and be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. We are diving into one of the most controversial and hot topic passages of scripture about 50, 60 years ago. We have moved on to different things now. But this was a big debate, and oftentimes what's being taught here is misunderstood. What we believe in as power and glory, we think that we can achieve power and glory by either wearing a hat or not wearing a hat. And what we got to do is we got to slowly take a step in here and look at all the elements before we can really pick up what it is we're looking at. The question that we're looking at first glance is whether or not a woman should wear a head covering or if a man should have a hat on in the church is what a lot of people would say, right? This passage says men shouldn't wear hats and women should have some kind of covering or veil over their heads. And oftentimes I'd say probably when it was popular 20, 30 years ago, you'd get the doily off the couch and put that on your head. And I would believe it. And I'm not trying to be mean. We've all got people that do this and we love them. I mean, no disrespect. But that's pretty much what it is, right? So we put that on and we say, by a woman putting on this hat or a woman putting on this covering, it's her giving glory to her husband. By the man not wearing a hat, he's giving glory to God. But that's not what we're looking at. All right? We got to look a little bit deeper into this, right? So the first thing we've got to look at is the word covering. What do we mean by covering when we say this? Now, the covering means a complete, a complete concealment of a thing. A complete concealment. Now, if you were to look at my head, and you were to look at my wife's head, who would you say is completely concealed their head versus somebody who has not? Right? You can see some of the weird patches in the back, right? You look right here, you can tell I still need to lose weight by the back of my head. Right? If I sleep wrong, I have sleep apnea, I'll put a hat on before I'll put the face mask on so I don't get bad stuff happening in the back, right? In the back of my head, weird little cowlicks and things like that. I'll put that on there. You can see that if I don't put that on there. My head is not fully concealed. Whereas many of you here today, yours is. Now, when we say concealed, we are talking about the percentage or the amount of your head that is covered. And we're gonna pick out some things to prove that in the context that we are solely talking about hair and by definition the amount of it being so. And we'll look at some of the cultural references too that point that out. Right now, how long is completely covered? It doesn't say. It doesn't say. I think that it's right for us to be able to look and say, hey, not completely covered, completely covered. Right? Is that past the ear? Is it down past the shoulders? We could go all day with the exact amounts, but we don't have an exact amount listed there. The word being said is covered. Much like the word modesty, right? It means long flowing garment, right? So we look at that. Is it something that flows? We would use the word, but there's not a strict definition of, well, you've got to be able to pull your pants pocket out this far, or you this or that. Right? We can argue over the garment and the size and the inches and the centimeters all we want, but the word that's being said there is concealed or covered. When we say the word uncovered, it means both in its definition either not concealed at all or not completely concealed. You can see my ears. You see the back of my neck. For some of you men in the room right now, we can see much more than that. Right? Now, does that mean that because I have hair, I don't bring the same glory to God that Brother Art and Brother Duane do? No. Does that mean that some of you that are only halfway there are halfway showing that glory? No. We show our glory by not adorning ourselves in a certain way. This is not a discussion of hair or hats. The problem being addressed is open carnality in the church. Open carnality. So when we come in and we have our hair the way that we have it, we need to be aware of open carnality when we do it. We're sitting there going, well, brother, that's a bit of a stretch right now, right? Isn't that a bit weird right now? Well, let's take a little time machine trip back and look at these Corinthians. Now, we've discussed this in our introduction to the study. What was the current status, or what was the current number one job in the city of Corinth? The word Corinth itself means prostitute, right? And in that, in their carnality, in what they sold, they would often use things like the placement of earrings, hairstyles, and the color of their clothing to announce who they were, what their job was, and what, again with the verbal gymnastics, what niche in that job they fulfilled. And again, it would be much easier for them to be able to do that with a shorn head. They would be able to sit there and swap out wigs, or they would be able to sit there and by having my hair cut this way or that, I can say, hey, listen, this is what I've got for sale, if you're following me on this. And what they were doing is these people in Corinth, they would come to church, and you could sit there and you knew who worked where and what they offered at the job by what they were wearing and how they had their hair done. So Paul's sitting there looking at that, and again, when we look at the long line of conversation here that he's having, we're talking about carnality in the church, right? We're about to talk about the drunken feasts inside the church. Paul's going to pick this one off first. Y'all are sitting there with open carnality. Cover it up. Now, not in the pharisaical way of where we pretend it's not there. But if you stopped, stop. You see, for a woman to have short hair or hair that was cut in a particular way, it told you what she did. When a man would roll into the church and he had long, effeminate, well braided, well taken care of hair, it would tell you what he did, tell you how he did his job, and also there would be many in that culture that would have long hair due to pagan type ideals, right? Different pagan religions would have you grow your hair out, braid your hair in a certain way, and you could sit there and walk by going, I know what religious order you're in, I know what people you come from, based on your long hair. So again, we see this culture, and Paul's sitting there saying you're being too much like the culture, and you ought not be selling this stuff in church. You ought not be doing this in church. Because again, the alternative being, well, you got to put a veil on. Why? Now again, I don't need to know the why of everything God tells me to do. But if I'm going to understand exactly what God is asking me to do, I should ask the question, why? There's nothing to a veil. And there's nothing to having an uncovered head. But that would be different. How can I glory or not glory God? Now, in today's day and age, I'll wear a hat back in the fellowship hall because it gets chilly. But I won't wear one up here because I was always taught when you walk into a building of officialness, you take it off. If I walked into a courthouse like I do when I go take the water sample in every month, I take my hat off. Why? It's just I remember my mom reaching over, grabbing my hat off, and bopped me upside the back of the head for wearing it inside of a building. That was it. You didn't wear it to dinner. Mom would reach over, grab it off your head, smack you upside the back of the head. That you don't do it. When we pray, we take our hat off. It's a sign of respect, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the difference between bringing glory to God and not bringing glory to God. And when you're in this kind of carnality that they're doing, and they're advertising it with the cutting of their hair. And again, Paul qualifies it. Hey, if there's shame, if there's not shame, it doesn't matter. And before we get too far, we have to first stop and kind of plant a little clarifier. There are physical ailments, accidents, genetic problems, and more that need to be taken into account of concerning the length of the hair on somebody's body. We have to take in the whole picture. We are referring to a sinful culture and practice among some incredibly carnal-minded individuals. Someone whose hair won't grow, those that lose their hair naturally, or those that fall asleep with gum in their hair, don't need to stay out of the church until it grows back, because that's not what we're talking about. Paul even says, listen, if it gets to the point, if you can't shave it all the way down, right, cover it. And if you can't cover it, at least shave it all the way down. Right, so if one day one of my kids, it'd have to be Melody. Melody falls asleep with gum in her mouth, gets in her hair, and the only way for me to get it out is to cut it. Do I got to leave her in the van? Right, I got to do what David did to those men who lost half their beards and half their hair. Stay out, no, stay over there in the city till it grows back. That's not the purpose. What is the purpose? It is why it is they're shaving it. Right, I know several people. I know one that I used to work with. Her hair would not grow. She'd always wear wigs. Just wouldn't grow. Right? Had a severe issue. She was on medication. It just wasn't going to happen. That is not what we're talking about. Right? For those that have illnesses and sicknesses, and that's not what we're talking about. What we are talking about are those that were in this lascivious lifestyle, that were selling their bodies, all right, coming into the church wearing the uniform on their head. And God said, cover it up. Either shave it all the way down or put a covering on it. See, Corinth, when you look at it from an outside perspective, was kind of gross, right? With the number one, right, what would they say? This is the oldest profession, right? It was the deepest profession in Corinth. They were known throughout history for this, and not in the biblical sense where we would say, oh yeah, the city of Corinth is written to by Paul. No, they knew Corinth. You find Corinth in history. You can find it all through the history books. And this is the stuff they're talking about. Corinth is where you went to get sick. Right? It's where you went for your sin to kill you. And these people, they were practicing in it. They were rampant in it. Today we've got titles and labels and all these things for the fornication we've got today. And there's a dignity in every kind of fornication we got today. Back in Corinth, they didn't care as long as you got the money. I'm getting real bold with this. I'm getting uncomfortable with the subject matter. I hope you are too. But this is where they are. So when Paul is addressing this is a real world problem, not a made up, how big should my hat be? Right? Not a made up, how long is it? Should it be this or that? How long should my wife's hair be? Should I wear the big veil, the small veil? It is to a much deeper problem we're talking about. This command was to solve a problem, and that problem was people selling themselves. You with me so far on this? So the source of it came from a naturally grotesque city. And not everyone that was in the church was out of the lifestyle. And by the way, you get that in churches where people left the lifestyle, left different lifestyles, left different sins. And either they were tempted to come back into it, or some of us never leave it. We're always the same. There's some sins we don't give up. In their particular case, well, how am I supposed to make money if I don't do this? You know what? There's a lot of other jobs out there than this. I don't buy it for a second. Right? There's people today that, well, selling either pictures, video, well, whatever it is they get into with this sort of a sin. Right? Well, how else am I supposed to make money? You know, there's a lot of places out there hiring right now.
There are a lot more dignified places to be clocking in, if you ask me, than selling your dignity. Oh, no, I have dignity. You don't. You don't in this business. And again, they try to legitimize this lifestyle. They legitimize this choice to be able to sell this. And again, were we not having kids in the room right now, I'd be a little bit more clear on it. But this is the only option I have. No, there's a lot more dignified jobs to have out there. I would rather scrub the floor at McDonald's again than see this. Right? If it came down to my kids or whatever happened, well, we got to go be models. I'll go back to scrubbing floors so you don't have to hear. Just take the money. Move into my, come on. No. And what they're doing is they're doing this. They're still in this lifestyle. So you're sitting there in church. Now again, when you grew up, if men had long hair in the church, they were what? They were hippies. They were rebels. They were rock and rollers, depending on where we are in the generational steps of the world, right? You're this, you're that. If you had long hair in this particular time, you were going for something, and it was either pagan or it was pleasurable. And that was it. During the Greek-Roman times, it was more fashionable for men to cut their hair. Now, nowadays, fashion says do whatever you want. We've been there several times throughout the annals of history where culture says do whatever you want. But in this particular one, the disciplined ones cut their hair. And women, especially those that were married, would let theirs go longer. Now, some Baptist brethren, for whatever reason, who also latched onto our point of view with this scripture that it doesn't mean the veil, also mean this to mean that the longer a woman's hair is, the more glory she has. So some women never cut their hair. There's some prominent evangelists that their wives never cut their hair. You don't see that either. Again, we don't have a terminal length for how long it has to be, right? It doesn't make any sense there either. The point is that God cannot get glory when I'm sitting there looking through and I can count how many people work down on the corner. God can't get the glory in this church service. God can't get the glory in the marriage when I'm clocked in over at this house of ill repute, and she's clocked in over at that house of ill repute, and we're both coming together and sitting in church together, and we're sitting in the back, and even if we're not gossipy, even if we're of a mature, loving, forgiving mind, we're still sitting there going, how does that work? We're getting distracted by it. Well, Paul says, not only should you not be doing it, not only is your body's not for that, and we'll get into that in a second, not only your body's not for that, but you ought not to be advertising that in the church. Somewhere along the lines in human history, we have picked up and dropped the idea that showing off your body is dignified. Now, what happens when we do that? Well, nothing if I do it, but what happens when other people do that? They put that up for sale. You're selling a piece of yourself. Well, it's their right to do it. Yeah, but doesn't make it smart. Right? And then what Paul says, all things are what lawful, they're not expedient. We're about to get on that verse. You can, absolutely. It's just not, what you're doing is you're hurting yourself. What you're doing is you're showing something off that you don't have to show off. And what Paul is doing is he's looking at them going, you've brought something into the church that shouldn't be there, and if you're truly out of it, cover it up. Right? So when men had long hair, it meant a particular thing. When women had short hair, it meant a particular thing, and not just short hair, but how they cut the hair would tell you what it is they did and how they did it. We talked about this. So you're sitting there, and you've got the men doing their thing, the women doing their thing. And not just that, that's not only the only problem, but we're also seeing that within that, the rules of the physical relationship between husband and wife, between man and woman, are skewed in this, because, by the way, that's not how relationships are supposed to work. It's not. Where carnality, physical act, can be caught and picked up anywhere out there, can be paid for as cheaply as possible. It's not the way God designed for that to be. And as we read through, we see what is the purpose. Verse 2, now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all ordinances and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that at the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, does what?
dishonoreth his head. Who's my head? Christ. I dishonor him. When I'm caught out and I'm doing this and I'm advertising this behavior, I'm dishonoring the Lord. Now, that's what we're doing. We're coming in saying, hey, listen, I still do this and I'm still advertising this. But you know what? I love Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue on in this sin. If you found out that I was in some gross sin, how long would you let me be your pastor for? Not very long, right? Not very long. And my hope is this, is that that would be true. Well, brother, we saw this. You're hitting those bars. Oh, I just like the cheeseburgers. It doesn't take 3 hours to eat a cheeseburger, brother. You ain't fooling us. Look at you, right? I'm trying to be silly to make an awkward conversation a little bit more open here, right? But you wouldn't buy it. That's what they're doing. When they're coming in with their heads covered like this, you're still in the lifestyle and you're not getting out of it. You're dishonoring God. Right now again, we sit there, we say, well, now the head of every woman is the husband. Yes, in that, we break the natural bounds of the marriage in what they were doing. That act belongs between the husband and the wife. That honor belongs between the husband and the wife. In what they were doing, they were the wives were dishonoring the husbands were dishonoring God, right? And as we see that the head of Christ is who? God. We are just messing up the entire chain of command. We're tossing it aside. It's problematic. Not only did we have unnatural things happening here, and not only were we bragging about it in our styles, but we were endorsing and encouraging the breakdown of the family in this. And again, they would sit there and say, well, you got to make money, brother. You got to make money, Paul. But there are better dignified ways than this. See, in a marriage and in the act, the woman should honor her husband. The man should honor God, right? And there should be a climate, there shouldn't be a climate of pure distraction in the church. So what does Paul say? Paul recommends what? Cover it up. Men, cut your hair. Women, grow it long. And I tell you what, if there's a difference in the way you cut it, shave it down. And there really was a scientific reason for this. It was not uncommon culturally or all throughout society that if there were parasites, lice, things like that, you shave it on back and there it is. Right? You just shave it on down till you got the bugs out of the house and you grow it back. Basically, what he's saying here is you've got to cut out even the look of this behavior in the church. You've got to cut it out. So when we're pulling this apart, we see the source. The source was a wicked culture in the city of Corinth. The purpose of this writing was, number one, to end the practice. Number two, get people back into the right lifestyle. And number three, reestablish order inside the marriage. That's the purpose of this. Now, digging a little bit further, verse 6, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now as we're looking at this, and sorry, verse 5 would have been a good one to dive into as well. What is it that we're talking about in the nature of the covering? Can I shave a veil? Are we talking about shaving or cutting the veil? No. When we're talking about this, would it be much better for her to be shaved or shorn to cut off the extra things that did all that promoting and to restore dignity and to get her back on the right path, right, for her to take care of that stuff. Say, hey, listen, I quit it. I'm laying aside this style that became my wardrobe for my job. I'm laying this aside. The answer to that isn't veil, hat, or head covering. Now, here's my opinion on this, and I think that we're open here with scriptures, especially if you look back at chapter 9. If a woman wants to wear, you know, Sister Nancy's got her hat on, I'll pick you out. That's fine. Because I don't think it matters one way. Now,
due to the nature of respecting God's house, men, you ought not wear a hat. That's not what we're talking about here, but men ought not to wear a hat. But if a woman if we have somebody who comes in and they put a head covering on, I'm not going to say a thing. If that's what you think you could honor God more by doing, I'm not going to step in your way. But it's just not what it says. We've got to look at the context, the historical accuracy of what's going on. We've got to look at everything to see that that's not what's being spoken about. What's happening here is they've got some lecherous lifestyles going on. We've got some problems within marriages, and Paul's wanting to correct it. So what do we take out of this? Obviously, Mount Morris is not Corinth, right? America, though we have our sins, we have our fornication, we're not quite like that. What do we do? Well, I got you, brother. What we do is we tell women how long their hair needs to be, right? 7 inches off of the ear, whatever. It's got to be this long. Well, I don't know exactly where to put it. But to me, covered is covered. That's it. Is it past the ears, above the ears, below the neckline? I'll look at it, I'll tell you later. But to me, there's nothing in there that says specifically what. It says covered. So if I can look at my head and say, not completely covered, I would say I'm right. I would say as a man, I fit the bill. And as for a woman, if you look at your head and you say, covered for today, I'm good. Well, that's what we're going for. But ultimately, this was more about carnality and addressing the carnality than anything else. And addressing the breakdown in the family. So again, if you're sitting there and you're looking in the mirror and you're worried, don't be. Right? If I thought that there was some kind of a problem, you know, Brother Wade, your hair gets too long, I'll come talk to you. I like what my pastor used to tap you on the shoulder. Come on over here. It's time for you to get a haircut. Or as my uncle told me one time, you need a haircut or a dog tag. Not the military kind. Like he'd sit there, he'd always joke about it. Well, I'll get the flea medication if it gets any longer, boy. You better get that haircut. But no, there's a way to make this too legalistic. That there is. And that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's addressing a real problem. And not just one where if my hair's too short, my husband doesn't feel like the head of the house. Right? My wife goes to the the hairdresser every now and then. Not as much as I try to get her to take care of herself. She's out of the room. Pressure her to go do something nice. Right? Take a spa day. Leave the kids behind. We'll only burn half the house down, I promise. Right? And when she goes, I'm not going to sit there and go, why? Because that's not what that says. Right? In keeping your hair a certain way, we show glory to God. We show honor to God. We show honor to each other. What they were doing was dismantling the marriage. When you go out and you're in this style of work, when you're doing this kind of work, you dishonor the marriage, you dishonor God, and how dare we bring it into the house? Ultimately, what we need to do is we need to respect ourselves beyond that. Now, I'm preaching to a group of people who do not probably need this. But that's pretty much what it is. Don't get into this kind of work is what he's saying. When God created you, he created you for himself and not for the base pleasures of others. Verse 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Right? For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. This is not about a loss of dignity. This is not just about control. This is about God and our testimony to him. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of what? Of God. Right? Well, I tell you what, if men are willing to pay and if women are willing to pay, no. It's undignified. It insults God. And we could take that from the length of our hair all the way down to what it is that we dress like, how it is we speak to people. Right? I've got rules and how I talk to people. I tell you what, I get so high strung, I don't make proper eye contact sometimes just because I'm concerned about everyone feeling comfortable. I don't want anything like that. We ought to be respectful. Number one, of God. Number two, of others. And number three, we respect ourselves in that.
We do. Right? So as I'm sitting there, and we're discussing things in the house, and my wife says, this is what I'd like to do. Me as the husband, as the leader, right? I've got to handle that properly. Hey, hon, here's a problem that we're having. Hey, hon, this is what we need. I, as the husband, step in, I take care of those things. When we have base carnality in the home and in the church, it disrupts it. It ruins it. When I am involved in base carnality, either buying or selling, I dishonor God. I do. This is, again, more about carnality than it is the size of the doily on your head. It is. So again, think about it this way. When you hear those stories of pastors that are drug out of their churches and arrested for what the FBI found on their computers, does that honor God or dishonor God? Dishonors him. Right? Oh, but I've got liberty. I do this. I wasn't doing anything. No, you get what you deserve. You get what you deserve. When you participate in carnality, when you participate in lecherous things, you get what's coming to you. What Paul is saying is kill it in the church. Kill it. Don't let it be in there. And when I look at my wife, I want to be able to say that I've done right by her. When she looks at me, she wants to be able to say she's done right by me. Why? So we can have the world's best marriage, so we can be on some kind of couples magazine, so we can start maybe a couples retreat. And everybody will come to our thing. Well, maybe we'll start a YouTube channel. Who suggested Brother Art start a YouTube channel? We'll start a YouTube. Everybody come to the retreat. No! I love her because I love God. I honor her because I want to honor God. She honors me as the head of the home because she wants to honor God. And we work together in that way. To fail in those things, to keep our carnality as though our bodies were built for nothing more than pleasure, which, by the way, anybody that sits there and says that there's any dignity in selling their body that way, there isn't. I like how some of you are closing your Bibles like, I'm not going to run back up there again. No, but when we play games like that, when we're involved in carnality and we're letting that stuff show, there was a kid came to camp one time, when you talk about going to a church camp, you're surrounded by a bunch of pastors, a bunch of church people, like there are some things like you question, should I wear this, should I not wear this, and sometimes we overthink basic things. This kid had a shirt, doesn't matter, like you couldn't have walked into a grocery store with how grotesque this shirt was with the carnality on it, right? I don't understand what's wrong with it. I do. You're wearing something that speaks to carnality. Well, I'll just put a sweater over it. No, you're going to come with me. You're going to take it off. And I got this one time from a kid. He had an alcohol sweater shirt on. It's the only shirt I brought all week. I go, no, Canada, come on. I go, I always bring extra shirts. Guess what you're winning this week? Extra shirts. Keep your attitude sweet, and I'll give you the ones I didn't want yet. No, it's about revealing carnality in the church. Right? So is talking about a veil, not a veil? I don't think so. Everything in there is hair. I think it's talking about the hair. Right? But at the same time, we want to be careful with it and look at what the purpose of it is, or else all of a sudden we've painted a doctrine where Brother Gunnels is glorying God more than I am just because he's... Now they say, brother, I don't mean to pick on you. I'll pick on Dwayne here in a little bit, but... It was a brother, R.B. Olette, not a great theologian, but he was a pastor in our area. He preached this one time. He said, now I've heard that it is of a very masculine genetics that causes bald hair. And he was a bald man. So for all of you full-headed wimps out there, that's not what we're talking about. Do I have to be bald? Do I have to shave it down? You better hope not. That's not the point. The point is completely, if you look at the word covered, The application there is a complete cover, right? Some of y'all, I can't see your ears. Some of y'all, I can't see all your ears. Where we want to take that definition, we can look at later. But for the sake of what's wrong with the church, is we need to not have carnality in the church. We need to address it. We need to fix it. We need to not be comfortable with it sitting right in front of us.
as Paul was talking about with that man that was in the relationship with his father's wife, right? You guys are just sitting in that. And you guys aren't doing anything about it. Paul's sitting there saying, clear it out. No flirting, no goofing around, none of this stuff that denotes to bigger carnal problems in there. Right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father.